Tom Temin is on site at the Executive Leadership Conference in Williamsburg, Virginia, and software doesn't fall far from the trees. People in the companies that develop it, that's why the supply chain for software is becoming a major focus for federal agencies. They're trying to make sure the software they buy and install is secure. Software assurance also a big focus at the Executive Leadership Conference this morning in Williamsburg. Tom Temin is there, and Tom, why is this such a big deal for people?
Well, we're going to find out because I'm standing with Joe Jarzombek. He's the Director of Software Assurance at Homeland Security. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks for being here.
And it sounds like you've got the toughest job in government, making sure that software is secure. Tell us how the supply chain comes into this whole picture.
Well, the supply chain in general, when you think about what we're buying, because typically within the federal government we don't build or things, we're relying on commercial industry to provide our products and services that typically are cobbled together through hardware and software. And there's a growing realization that within our supply chain, as we bring things in, that we're often unaware of what's inside that supply chain and how it affects us. In particular, we're building components that are easily exploitable.
We're buying software that's custom developed by people, in many cases, especially DOD, but not them exclusively. What are some good techniques for making sure that you are getting supplied software that's secure? What do you look at?
Well, the first thing is it's expanded due diligence. And you pay attention to provenance and pedigree, meaning that take a look at who's producing it, who's handling it along the way. And that doesn't just mean saying, oh, I know that I'm dealing with somebody good, but it's also somebody who's capable of delivering secure products and services. And so we have a series of due diligence questionnaires. We look for certain practices to be in place to be able to achieve those. So it's not a matter of where it was produced so much as how people produce it, how they manage their downline. So it's not just what one individual company does.
Yeah, because you hear a lot of people say, well, if it's from China, it's probably full of bugs, or if it's from Russia or something like that. Is that necessarily the case? And do we buy that much software that's actually developed in those countries?
First of all, you have to understand that this is a global economy. Software and most of our IT products come from around the globe, and most people can't tell you exactly all the sources. But even when they can, we will tell you that location is not the specific thing to look at. Certainly, there are certain locations that represent perhaps more of a malicious intent. There could be. And it just means that you have to have a more rich and robust domestic risk management strategy to understand what your exploitable weaknesses are and whatever residual risk that you might have.
So speaking with Joe Jarzombek, Director of Software Assurance at Homeland Security. Let's talk for a minute about embedded software. When you buy a router or you buy any kind of electronic equipment, there's a lot of software that's built into those chips. Is that part of what your office looks at?
I say office. It's the federal government in general. We have various supply chain risk management strategies that are out there and organizations that look at different parts of it. So you've got two components when you're buying switches and routers. You have not just the embedded software, but you have the hardware components itself. And we've discovered that we actually have been buying counterfeit products. And if it's that easy for us to take a hardware product, something that you can feel, touch, look at, and then not realize that it was counterfeit, how easy would it have been to embed something that had some extra features that weren't desired?
And so software, which is much more easily reproduced, is that much more dangerous, in other words?
It could be. And part of the challenge is developing a more comprehensive diagnostic capability to truly understand the code behavior, what's inside what we're buying, both in terms of the software and it could be the embedded logic that's there.
And how widespread is the problem? I mean, if there's per million lines of code, but how do you measure it?
You know, this is very much, it depends. And I know people hate hearing that. The reality is the risk is real. And therefore, the threats that can exploit those risks are real as well. And there are certain organizations that have done much more in the terms of due diligence, or looking at where are the risks, whereas others have been, you know, they've just taken their eye off the road. They're buying things and not even asking, where did these components come from? If they made a buying decision based on, well, this seems to be cheaper, as opposed to, did we really check to see, are we putting the enterprise at risk? And two different, and we're actually going to be discussing that in the panel that's following immediately after this.
And we're going to let you go in just a minute. Whose job is this? I mean, who's responsible for software assurance in an agency? Is it just the poor tech guys? Is it the procurement officer? Or is it somebody higher level?
Well, first of all, understand it's a lifecycle perspective because it's both in development, it's in acquisition, and it's in use. And a lot of people think in terms of malware, oh, well, it's an operational problem. The challenge is we are buying things with malicious code already embedded for future exploitation. And it's often it's not because the supplier had malicious intent. It's because they were not really aware of what they were bringing in as part of when they were recobbling together a product or service and delivering it to us. They were unaware. They didn't have the fundamental capabilities inside their organization to mitigate those risks.
And you can hear the crowd on their way to the conference and getting underway with those sessions, so we're going to keep moving here. Now, what about cloud computing? There you are getting software as a service. You're not acquiring something in the same way. How do you look at software assurance in that atmosphere?
Well, the reality is the federal government and industry in general is moving to cloud computing. Cloud computing is our procurement strategies in the future here. But here's the reality. Cloud computing is often sold and bought as services. If you don't think people were asking about software security issues in the past, when we were buying software, what's the likelihood they're going to ask the question about software security when I'm buying services? But the reality is, cloud computing, so a service-oriented architecture, software as a service, they are all services that we buy and we deliver and we operate through, but they're implemented in software. So we still have to be mindful of the fact and ask the questions. We focus on, and cloud computing, it's what do you do with your service level agreement? We have a series of questions, due diligence questionnaires, as well as sample contract language that you can actually do to help mitigate the risk to the enterprise. Because ultimately, this is about mitigating the risk to our enterprises.
So this is something really that should be part of your service level agreement.
Absolutely.
Other words, before you even hook up to any kind of cloud.
Absolutely. And so anyone who says, oh, it's the supplier's fault. No, this is a shared responsibility on development and acquisition, but operations, how we operate as well. So it's a shared responsibility across the board.
Joe Jarzombek is the Director of Software Assurance at Homeland Security. Thanks very much for joining us.
Tom, I appreciate the opportunity.
And from ELC 2010 in Richmond, Virginia, Tom Temin, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.